Welcome to Inspiring People and Places, where we interview national leaders in the architectural, engineering, construction, and development industry in an effort to educate, innovate, and inspire industry professionals to disrupt the status quo, improve their project teams, and steward public and private investments more effectively. I'm your host, BJ Kramer, President and CEO of MCFA. Allow me to introduce today's guest. All right, inspiring people and places. Every now and then we have a guest that we focus in on what we call DOD to AEC, Department of Defense to Architect, Engineering, and Construction. A lot of our content is around education and innovation in the industry, but one of the gaps that we know exists today and is going to exist over the next 20 years, or maybe two of the gaps, is one, we have a talent gap. We have less labor, less resources in our industry than the work that is slotted between the infrastructure bills and the retiring, quote, brain drain, or I think I've heard it called the silver tsunami of a lot of the competency that's leaving our industry. The other is, I think we have a leadership competency gap in our industry. So the DOD to AEC program or brand inside of MCFA is really focused on helping tap into the blue ocean of talent that's leaving the military every year that brings a problem-solving skill and a leadership skill. They may not have all the technical competencies that our industry may require at the tactical level, but certainly operational leadership. And we see that as a huge differentiator, not just for us, but for our industry. So we launched our SkillBridge program. Our guest today is a member of our second cohort. And I'd like to welcome to the show Adam Sawyer. Colonel, soon to be retired, Adam Sawyer, to the show. Adam, how are we doing, buddy?
No, good. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. And I love leader development and leadership. It's one of the things I'm passionate about. So it's great to be here to talk to you about it.
I'm excited to dive in. Let's start out because I think this gives instant credibility and rapport to what we're going to talk about. What is your current role and assignment on active duty?
Yeah, so I started out at West Point and I graduated in 2000 and I said, I'm never coming back. And surprise, surprise, I'm ending my career at West Point, right?
Poetic. It's poetic.
So my last assignment before I, or my last position before I started this SkillBridge opportunity with MCFA was the director for the Department of Military Instruction at West Point. So there's 17 departments. DMI, Department of Military Instruction, is one. So I had oversight of the military program at West Point, which really is we're developing militarily, but at its core is also development, right? So there's a context of everything we do is about developing these cadets, both as leaders, but to be prepared to fight and win our nation's wars from a military perspective as well.
So is it fair to say, and this is me kind of refreshing myself and asking, there's a physical component, there's a military component, and there's an academic component to the cadet journey. Fair?
There is.
All of those come together for a leader development experience.
Correct. So DMI has, on behalf of the Commandant, who's the one star, has oversight of the military program, the three pillars. But one of the things, while it's always been there, one of the things they've reinforced now is a character pillar, which encompasses all three of those that you're talking about.
Oh, good clarification. Very cool. So talk to us a little bit about what all goes on under the Director of Department of Military Instruction in the cadet journey or in the cadet experience, and then we'll rewind back to West Point graduation. You can take us through kind of your career path to where you are today.
Yeah, so really it's rewarding in terms of what we do with the development of these cadets, because we integrate, while we have oversight of the military program, we integrate all aspects of it, because there's many different people at the academy that have a role or a part to play in terms of developing militarily. But it starts when the cadets come there. The first thing they're doing is cadet basic training, which is a 6-week training program where we transition them from civilian to military, right? And then every summer after that, we're training them. You know, so for all 4 summers, we have different training programs that we are putting the cadets through to develop them. But simultaneously, we also teach military academic classes. They're called military science classes during the academic year. And so the best way to think about it is in the academic year, we're teaching them the theory, right? And then the summer is like the lab where we're going out and they're doing it, right? And so I have about 70 in DMI, I have about 70 different people that work directly for me. We have officers from all different branches. I had 7 international officers and exchange officers. We have civilians as well, GS workers and Title 10s, but we can't do it, right? So we build a very large, call it a coalition of people that execute the summer training. It also includes the Army, by the way, invests very heavily in the development of these cadets. They give us 1,000 soldier task force from the active duty. So you bring that in, you bring in about 120 staff and NCOs from the academic side and all the other various positions of the at West Point, and we train them. So under that, we have to put that all together, sync it, and plan it to execute a world-class training event in the summertime for these cadets.
So let me just refresh myself again. So I got military science during the year. Cadet basic training is your entry prior to plebe year. Cadet field training, or Camp Buckner, is between yearling year and Cal year, sophomore and junior year. Then on top of that, you have the MIADS. Are they still called MIADS? Air Assault School.
MIADS, military schools. Yes, correct.
And then you have CTLT still?
They have CTLT, which is where we send them out to active duty units to follow a lieutenant to see the job that they're going to be doing, correct?
Awesome. Is there anything I'm missing inside of that program?
Yeah, there's two key things. Is really cadet field training is actually done between their freshman and sophomore year.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Right. So I call it the special sauce in our leader development recipe, which is every cadet has to serve in a leadership position in the summer. So they're either leading the sophomores or the freshmen in their summer training, and they're serving as a platoon leader, a squad leader, and so forth, right? And it's really the first time that they're in charge and having to make decisions, right? And they're empowered to do so. That's why I always call it the secret sauce in our development in the summertime. And then there's another thing that West Point added around 2011. It's called Cadet Leader Development Training. It is, I think, hands down, one of the best things we do with these cadets, because it's done. They do it during the summer of their senior year. And it's, they take everything that they've learned about leadership, everything they've learned about tactics and strategy, right? And we put them in a situation where it's hard, it's challenging. They don't have all the time that they need to do to make decisions, and they have to lead, right? And it's really a good final check, both for us, but for the cadets themselves to say, yeah, you're ready to go lead soldiers in the United States Army. So that's a new thing. And I think it's one of the best things we do at West Point as we develop these cadets.
I love it. All right, let's rewind to your cadet years. How did you end up at West Point, and where did you go after graduating?
Yeah, so actually my story, if you look at my 8th grade yearbook, it says future goals. It says graduate from West Point with honors.
Check.
So did it. I went to West Point, worked my butt off, and I graduated with honors. Was an honor grad, right? But what I tell people is, it started off with this desire to go to West Point because there was all about these leaders, you know, that contributed to our country. But then as I was at West Point and as I transitioned to the Army, I fell in love with the Army. I fell in love with soldiers, right? I fell in love with what they do and having a different problem and challenge that we had to handle every day, right? And the camaraderie that came with them. And so as I fell in love with soldiers, and I said, I want to continue to do this. So for 24 years, I served as an infantry officer. I selected infantry because I thought that they had the hardest mission, and I wanted the hardest mission. I wanted to lead soldiers under the toughest situations to accomplish whatever mission we got. And I've been very blessed to do that. I commanded a battalion in the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. That was my last command. But I also have had the privilege to serve at the strategic level. I was on the joint staff at the Pentagon, where I managed emergent force requirements worldwide. And then I also served as an aide to a 3-star general. So I also appreciated the ability to operate strategically at the strategic level, but then also be down at the tactical and operational level leading soldiers throughout my 24 years.
Awesome. All right. Now you're navigating the next chapter of your career. Talk to us about what's going through your head over the last, maybe the last 6 weeks, maybe the last, I don't know, 18 months as you begin to look for your next mission.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm 46, and all I've known since age 18 is the Army. So I've done a lot of hard things, Ranger School, combat deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan. And this is hard, but in a very different way, because you're fundamentally, your identity is changing. And on top of that, you want to find something. I mean, I explained how passionate I was about soldiers in the Army. It's like, how can I find something as passionate as the Army, right? And that I can use my skills. And so you go through, it's literally, you wake up every day and it's like, well, maybe today I want to do this. Maybe today I want to do that. It's confusing because you're trying to like redefine who you are. That's what I love about as I came through this whole process was initially, I would tell you, working for a company potentially that does architecture, engineering, construction never even entered my mind because I do have a minor in civil engineering for West Point, but I've never done that in the industry, right? And then as I started venturing down this journey, I realized that what project management is all about is leadership and problem solving. If there's two things that the Army has prepared me to do, it's leadership and problem solving. And I said, hey, maybe this will, it's one of the challenges I liked. And then it was all about finding a team where that kind of had passionate about what they were doing as well. And that's kind of how, thank God for the Skill Bridge and the Hiring Our Heroes program, because that was what connected me to the DOD to AEC program that's sponsored by MCFA.
So you've gotten to see a lot of the types of projects we have, and you're a retiring 06, but you got to really dig into, I mean, you were walking through VA buildings, doing the dirty work at the lowest level. And talk to us about what you've experienced where the rubber meets the road in the project environment for us. And I think that we, MCFA, and the type of work we do does have a smattering of different stuff in the built environment. So I think it gave you a good rotation around what goes on in the built environment. And what do you see that, I'll get to you specifically in a second, but I think you're a retiring 06. There's a lot of places.
05, I'm sorry. I wish I was at 06, 05, but yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep saying that. There's a lot of places that want a leader of your caliber. Talk to us about what a leader at the 02 or 03 level or the E4 to E6 level, how you see synchronization or synergy between that talent pool and the built environment.
Yeah. So here's what I love about the internship I did with MCFA, and I think it'll get at the question you're asking, is there's two of us right now in the program. I'm a retiring 05 with 24 years, and the other individual is a staff sergeant promotable with 11 years, right? So it brought us together. And what I loved about how MCFA does this, as opposed to other Skill Bridge opportunities, they might put you in an actual position, right? And the problem with that is it a good fit for what the individual may want to do, and also for what the company really needs in maximizing and understanding their skill set, right? And what I loved about the program at MCFA is it allowed us to actually go and go see all different aspects. So the vertical, horizontal construction, right? The master planning, the energy stuff. So I did not realize, you know, had I come in, I didn't know what I didn't know. There were a lot of unknowns. And what it allowed for me and the other individual who's a staff sergeant promotable, is it allowed us to be able to see this and then also allowed the company to see our skill sets and what we could do. And I think what you'll find is what's great about United States Army is we empower down to the lowest level. And while you may have I know the previous internship, for example, had an 03 captain, right? And what's awesome is they can run, my experiences allow me to operate maybe at a higher level in terms of bigger projects and complexity. What they can bring is they're going to bring a ton of leadership and empowerment at any level in any of these projects. And that's what became very obvious as we were going through this, and it allows to a good fit. I will tell you, I know on one of your shows, you were talking about a private project we were doing for a resort, right?
Yep.
And I went in there, and that's where I think it hit me and this young NCO was, you know what the difference maker in that whole project was? The project leader from MCFA that was in there every day that earned the trust of all the stakeholders, right? And literally was bringing out, had a shared vision and was solving problems every day and making things happen, right? And that's where I think for me and for this NCO that's retiring, that's where it hit us. I was like, wow, this is what we did. You did this at your level. I did this at my level. We can do this, right? And that's where it really gained the confidence of being able to take our skills and apply it to project management in the civilian business sector.
That's awesome. Inspiring People and Places is brought to you by MCFA. MCFA is a CVE-verified, service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. At MCFA, our why is to inspire people and places through project leadership. We provide planning, strategy, program management, and construction management support services to a wide variety of public and private sector clients.
I appreciate that. And I told Adam to give us the truth, not the sugar-coated version of his experience. So talk to us about the SkillBridge experience for somebody that might be considering transitioning. I know Jesse just hosted kind of a tell-all last week, but give us some of the highlights, lessons learned, what we might do differently, or what maybe you've learned from your peers that are going through the SkillBridge programs.
Yeah. So the one thing I just didn't mention was the other part. So it's an experiential piece that we're doing, but there's also a training piece. And so it's almost like what I told you, what we do with cadets, right? We give them the theory and then it's on the job training. And that's really what it is. And so one of the highlights is we do a PMP prep course in preparation for taking the PMP exam. And that was the theory. And that was also when we did that up front, it allowed us to better understand what we were seeing on the ground, whether it was the master planning or whether it was maybe one of the projects, private projects or so forth. And so when you put that piece together, it all kind of comes together. And what you'll find about military is, look, we have a core mission, right? But you'd be surprised how much we don't have to do our core mission. There's a lot of having to go in and figure things out and learn very quickly, right? Yeah. The example I give is as a young company commander, when I was given an area that my company was responsible for that had seven different towns, they say, hey, provide security. Okay, we can do that. That's a core mission, right? Then they say, hey, I want you to set up a local government, connect it to the provincial government. I want you to get their economy up and running. It's a bunch of farmers, right? I want you to get their essential services like electricity and school and water, fresh water up and running. And I don't know what... My team, we don't know anything about that, right? But you don't go, I don't understand, right? You got to go in and you have got to figure it out. And we're very good at that. We're very good at learning. So when MCFA provided us the opportunity to the theory, the classes with the experience, we very quickly, at the end of this 3-month experience, we understand, right? We're not the technical experts yet, and we have a lot more time to where we get it, but we're at a level where we're very comfortable at being able to go into probably any project and to be a difference maker in that project.
I'm really glad you brought that up because for a different reason. When I was going through cadet basic training and cadet field training, 9/11 had not happened and we were all basically being prepped to go out and be essentially a mayor of some town that you're trying to stabilize in wherever, third world country. Humanitarian efforts were really becoming the core mission. We weren't fighting wars. We were stabilizing unstable governments. And what you just said was, you know, get water running, rebuild schools, get the economy going. And this is something that many, 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 many people don't appreciate about the built environment, but it literally is the backbone of society, is the built environment, whether it's roads, whether it's utilities, whether it's flowing water and sewers. I mean, to me, that's the other reason why I pitch, like, our company, our industry is, I've said this before on the show, is solving humanity's greatest issues. How are we stabilizing a growing population across the world between economic resources, food, energy, flowing water? So I'm glad you reminded me because that is why I think the other reason DoD to AEC as a mantra, this is an important mission that we do. And yes, we get very tactical on the project level, but the industry, and one of my goals is to recruit not just military, but everybody to understand what goes on in our industry is a really, really important mission. Delivering the public infrastructure and delivering private projects and balancing public and private needs is really important to our economy and to our overall success as a nation.
Yeah, you are literally impacting the lives of everybody. And actually, so talking to one of our MCFA employees who was in the first internship, This was the 03 captain that had recently gotten out. One of the things he loved about the current project he's on up in New York, what he is doing is going to impact thousands of thousands of people every day, right? Yeah. Eventually even millions, right? Yeah. But he, it's that higher reward of knowing, and that goes back to what I talked about, which is like, I want something that motivates me, that really, when I get up in the morning, I'm like, hey, I'm making a difference in the lives of people. And you're right. And here's the other part of this is, you know, you're making me think now, BJ, you know, one of the first two projects I did. So I had a town that I was able to, we were working with people. We got enough security and I got a local government and I worked with them. You know, the first two projects we did for them, their main street was dirt, and for runoff, for water, everything was flooding. So the first thing we did was pave their main street. Right. And the difference it made for those people, like, it sounds like it's a simple thing, but their lives transformed because the main street, which there was no runoff and there was no, you know, stuff sat out, it made difference. And the other thing was their water tower. They had not had water, fresh water. The inside of the tower had deteriorated. And so it was operational, but we had to go in there and do it. And so those two simple things was getting the water tower fixed, right? And then also to completely fundamentally change the lives of those Iraqis in those towns, right?
That's awesome.
And so that's a simple project, but the projects that a lot of times we do here that MCFA is handling are bigger projects, but the impact to people is no different, right? And so, yes, absolutely. It has a huge impact, everything we do. I love some of the infrastructure things because that's mass transit. People move like it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's like, that's a problem as we continue to go forward. And we're helping to solve that problem.
Let's, everybody listening, use that as your daily dose of gratitude, that when you flip a switch, lights go on. When you go into a bathroom, you've got running water and a toilet that's flushing. And when you drive to work or walk down the street, you've got sidewalks and roadways. We often take for granted everything we have. So I appreciate the reminder. Like, the infrastructure that we use only gets noticed when it's not working. But it's
true.
It's worth reminding ourselves that it's actually working 99% of the time. All right, before we get to some rapid fire questions, one of the things that you and I have struck a few conversations around is bringing leadership, and that's leadership development, that's leader development, and I want you to hit on the combination of those two things. You talked about our SkillBridge being a little bit like that cadet leader development program or rotation. Talk to us about leadership development and your view on it. It's certainly a goal of mine at MCFA to create an organization that empowers both an entrepreneurial mindset and a leadership mindset. And it's not easy. We're growing it as we go. So talk to us about your view of how those two things happen and what organizations can be doing to make them happen.
Yeah. And to preface this for your audience, my entire 24 years, the one thing that I do is leader development. And I also have my master's degree from Columbia on leader development, right? So this is right down my alley in terms of theoretical and application. I saw a statistic the other day, you know, 80% of managers, first-time managers and companies are not prepared to lead. They get zero leadership experience development. They go right in and they go, I don't know what I'm doing, right? And then on the other hand, I will tell you my experiences is, and I say this all the time, in warfare, if you got peer on peer, right, and two chat, you know what the difference maker is? It's leadership. Right? Leadership is all the difference, right? So if leadership is the thing that is the difference maker, right? And then you look on the other hand, you know, how well are companies preparing their managers to lead? There is clearly a big disconnect, right? And I think that goes back to what you said in terms of there's this gap, right? So when you look at leader development, right? So we want to be able to develop high performing leaders. And these two terms get used interchangeably, but they're different. Right, there's leader development, and then there is leadership development. Leader development refers to the individual, right, and their strengths and weaknesses and their developmental experience to grow and develop as a leader to motivate others and to provide purpose and guidance and vision and so forth. Leadership development is really about the social dynamic that occurs between a group of people and that individual, right? So if you're thinking about, if you're talking about, hey, I want to do leadership development, that means you're going to develop your staff or your people together to be able to work together and function as a team, right? And it's the social component of being a leader, right? That's why you have to invest when you develop a program to develop your, you have to invest in how you're developing your people individually and then how you're developing them as a group, right? What I always like to say is the question is are leaders made or born, right? And I always love to hear the answers, right? And the Army, you know, the Army says they're both, right? They're born and they're made. And I love that because that means you could come in and you would have a desire to lead and maybe not be very talented, but that's okay because I've seen it where probably the most not so talented leader becomes a better leader than someone who has natural skills because they've worked at it and they've had feedback and they've had a supportive organization or environment to do it versus someone that has a lot of natural skills but has never been challenged and worked. And so that's the important thing, I think, for your audience is listen, it's not like, oh, this person's not a good leader, so let's not. Actually, I always say is invest your time in those that may not have the skills because you're actually going to be amazed at what you can develop. So I think that's why it's important we talk about if leadership is what the difference maker is, then absolutely we have to put programs in to be able to develop both our individuals and our teams to lead effectively.
Awesome. So one of the ways that somebody can develop themselves, and this was a challenge by Mike Irwin, a recent guest, was to start reading. So talk to us about your reading list. Do you have a most recommended book or a favorite book?
Yeah, believe it or not, my favorite book is Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Very... I love that. It looks at what those things are that really make a difference as a leader. I'm also a big greenleaf.org. Servant Leadership. I'm a big proponent of his. So if you go and read, he has his book, but if you actually go to greenleaf.org is Servant Leadership. And I'm a big proponent. If you want to, Servant Leadership is you, the leader exists to serve those who he or she is leading, right? And so those, just real simple. I love the books I like, but those are the two that pop out as one of my favorite.
How about favorite quotes?
You're right, but this is rapid fire. The favorite quotes? Oh, geez. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't have a favorite quote.
That's all right. That's all right.
I don't have one that's coming to me off the top of my head.
proof that it's rapid fire. If you could have dinner with three people dead or alive, who would they be?
I love Grant in terms of what he is. I would be Abraham Lincoln and Jesus Christ.
Nice. What do you want on your tombstone?
I just want, well done. He did his mission.
Nice. All right. Maybe it's a soldier contemplating their next mission. Maybe it's somebody in our industry trying to figure out how to be a leader. Maybe it's a senior executive in our industry listening to this. Time's yours. Close us out.
You know, the other hard part of transitioning, before I started the Skill Bridge and I was looking at what to do, what I frequently was getting was, hey, you've got tons of leadership experience, but you don't have the technical experience. And what I would tell, extremely frustrating as you do this transition. And so I would tell people is give military a chance. And I think you'll be very amazed. A story someone told me was it's like, you know, when you have to hire someone and it's the military, it's like going into McDonald's and you always see the menu board up there. And it's like, you always get the Big Mac, right? You always get the Big Mac. And it's like, hey, maybe I'll try the double quarter pounder with cheese with special sauce this time, right? And that would be your military. But you always go, I'll just get the Big Mac, what I always got, right? Because I'm comfortable with it and that's what I get. Power, I would challenge all of you is hire a military veteran and I think you'll be absolutely amazed at what they bring to your company and your mission and the leadership. And just be patient. Give them 30 days to learn the technical aspect because they'll learn it quick, right? And then you're going to see them take off. So the most frustrating thing I hear, Ed, is you have great leadership, but you don't have the technical aspect of it. And it's just give them a chance. Give them a chance and you'll be amazed. And I'm very appreciative of the Department of Defense having the SkillBridge program. Very appreciative of hiring our heroes. Very appreciative of MCFA's DOD to AEC because that has allowed me to prove very quickly that I can learn the technical side and be very successful with it.
Awesome. Adam, you were a great guest. Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Great. No, thank you, BJ. Appreciate it.
Hey, everybody, if you're interested in learning more about the SkillBridge program, Jesse Gemmerling Johnson, our director of talent at MCFA, is becoming the guru, if not already the guru on this program. Our mission is not just to serve ourselves, it's to serve the industry. If you're an architect, engineering, construction company, anybody that's looking for leaders to join the built environment, get in touch with us and we'll see how we can help you out. Till next time, thanks so much for listening and please pass this along.
Hey, everybody. If you're enjoying this show, do us a favor and subscribe to Inspiring People and Places on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast hosting platform. We'd also greatly appreciate if you left us a review and shared this with other entrepreneurial public servants and all your friends and family in the AEC space. Be sure to visit our website, www.mcfaglobal.com. Sign up for our newsletter to stay in touch with us and learn about all of the projects and clients we're helping. Last but not least, we are hiring. We are always hiring. Do us a favor. Take a look at what jobs we have open. Contact us through our website or connect with me on LinkedIn. Until next time, have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.